verses 12 through 15. I do think verse 16 is a part of this section, but we'll be looking at that, Lord willing, more closely next Lord's Day, because it also does form the connection between this account of Jesus cleansing a leper and also of His healing of the paralytic in the next section. But this morning we'll be looking at just verses 12 through 15 together. Let's give our attention now to the reading of God's Word. While He was in one of the cities, there came a man full of leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and begged Him, "Lord, if You will, You can make me clean." And Jesus stretched out His hand and touched him, saying, "I will be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. And He charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing, as Moses commanded, for a proof to them. But now even more the report about Him went abroad, and the great crowds gathered to hear Him and to be healed of their infirmities. Please bow with me briefly in prayer. Father, as we come now to hear Your Word preached, we pray that You would work in our hearts, and that Your Spirit would work by His Word this morning to show us more clearly what our Savior has done for us, that we might grow in our adoration and thanksgiving for our salvation. And Lord, we pray that that would translate into lives of deep gratitude and thankfulness for what Christ has done for us. And so, Lord, please be with us now. Give us ears to hear what Your Spirit wishes to say to His church today. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. As we have been studying in our sermons going through the Gospel of Luke, the kingdom of God is coming in power. This is what has been happening. God's kingdom is coming, and Jesus is the King of that kingdom with authority over all things, seen and unseen. In other words, whether it is a demon, or whether it is a disease, or even the creation, or the natural laws, Jesus can speak a word. He just speaks, and His will is done in whatever situation we're talking about. But also, as we have been seeing, although Jesus has this immense and unspeakable power and authority over all, He continually uses this power in the most gracious and compassionate ways. It's not like He's just walking down the street, blowing mountains up or ripping the earth open or something like this. We need to remember what His commission was all about, why He was sent. He tells us that back in chapter 4, verse 18. Remember, Jesus came to proclaim good news to the poor, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed. And we have seen Jesus doing exactly these things. This is exactly what He was ordained to do, and this is exactly what we have been seeing Him doing. Delivering those who are demon-possessed, healing fevers and all kinds of sicknesses, and preaching the good news of the kingdom of God. In other words, what we see here is the most beautiful wedding of power and compassion. We see absolute authority and yet grace and mercy together. And this is seen so clearly here in the account of Jesus cleansing the leper that we have before us today. Again, as we begin verse 12 here, we need to remember that Jesus had said back in verse 43 of chapter 4, when the people were pressing in on Him to have Him heal them, He said, "I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well." And then in verse 1 of chapter 5, we get one of those occasions, and Luke tells us, on one of those occasions, we were taken to the lake of Gennesaret. And now we have here another of those occasions. Notice it says here, while He was in one of those cities. Now there is a somewhat startling issue here that we probably miss as modern hearers of this gospel. And that is that a leper was not allowed in a city. Notice where this all takes place. While He was in one of the cities, while He was in one of the cities, there came a man full of leprosy. You see, lepers were unclean. Lepers would contaminate anything and anyone that they came in contact with, so they had to live outside of the city. They had to be outside of the camp. They were, in truth, social outcasts. And so as we begin to think about this, we need to recognize that leprosy was much more than just a physical disease, although it was one of the worst of the physical diseases. It was also a social disease. You were an outcast. Now, most scholars agree, and I'm not a doctor, so I'll have to check this with Dr. Roger afterwards or Dr. Kleinbart, but most scholars agree that what we commonly call leprosy today, this thing called Hansen's disease, is not what is called leprosy in the Bible. There does seem to be similarities there between modern leprosy and what was called leprosy in the Bible, but leprosy in the Bible seemed to be a lot broader category for quite a few different kinds of skin diseases. It doesn't seem that it could be treated and healed as easily as Hansen's disease or what leprosy is, what is called leprosy today. It's much more, this seemed to be much more than just a bacterial infection. Leprosy was, from all accounts that we can understand about it, it was just a dreadful and awful disease that affected the whole person. Not only did it break out with just the most grotesque and hideous sores all over the skin, but it seems to have affected the bones and the blood as well. It's often described as a living death. People who had this, it seemed like they lived in a state of death all the time, and there was no known cure for it at all. In fact, a very excellent, albeit very graphic, description of leprosy is found in the book of Isaiah, and I have that in your outline on the back of your bulletin today. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 6 reads, "From the sole of the foot even to the head, there is no soundness in it, but bruises and sores and raw wounds. They are not pressed out or bound up or softened with oil." Just a dreadful description. But with these kinds of traits, it's no wonder that the Bible treats leprosy as a picture of sin and as an analogy to our own corrupt, depraved natures. In fact, the quote from Isaiah 1 that I just read there is actually Isaiah describing the sinful condition of the nation of Israel. He's not even describing there a physical condition. I read verse 6. Verses 4 and 5 that introduce it say, "Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, offspring of evildoers, children who deal corruptly. They have forsaken the Lord. They have despised the Holy One of Israel. They are utterly estranged. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint. So, in this leper, here is a man that epitomizes the outcast sinner. Luke even adds here that he was full of leprosy. From head to toe, he was infectious and he was repulsive. You see, he was worse than the scum of society. He was not even in society. He was a complete outcast. He was living outside of society, having been banished and unallowed to be near anyone. But as the reports of Jesus have been circulating, and we've heard about that, that all of a sudden reports about Him start going about. As these reports begin to circulate, this leper has no doubt heard of what Jesus has done to others, how He has exorcised demons, how He has raised bedridden patients. And he's probably heard the details of his Capernaum ministry. Those details which must have been so intense in the ear of a leper, how he had laid his hands on every one of the people he had healed and taken away the various diseases that they have. Well, that would have been too much to ask. Jesus laying His hands upon him. He's a disgusting leper, after all. You realize he hasn't felt the touch of another human being in who knows how long. But if Jesus could heal all those other diseases, then surely He could heal him. And so he has to get to Jesus. And thus it seems that he decided to defy the laws of his day. He would even go against the societal law, and he would come into one of the cities hoping to see Jesus because he recognizes this is his only hope. And as the account goes, he does. And Luke tells us here, and when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and begged him, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." It's good for us, I think, at this point to observe here that the leper does not question the ability of Jesus to heal him. He doesn't question Jesus' ability to make him clean. He believed this already, and that's exactly the reason why he's in the city and he's on his face before him now. He comes assured that Jesus can heal him. But in the most humble posture and in the most submissive spirit, he does not demand anything. He doesn't see himself as having a right. He only declares what he believes. "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." If you will, you can. And then the unthinkable happens. Jesus stretched out His hand and He touched him, saying, "I will, be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. You see, this is far more than he had asked for. This was far more than he had ever expected to get. He knew Jesus could heal him. The question, though, was, would he? This is a man with all authority. He was not a man to be demanded of. He is demonstrating His complete sovereignty over everything. That's what all the reports were going about, saying, here is one that can command even the fish of the sea. And so the question is, will He? You see, this leper, he would break the law if he had to. He would come into a forbidden place, a place where he had no right to be. He would try to approach Jesus. If he got close enough, he would cry out and he would beg in mercy to Jesus, pleading with Him to forgive him. But even then, after all of that, there is no guarantee. Would he heal him? Well, not only does Jesus want to heal him, but Jesus Himself here seemingly violates the law by stretching out His hand and touching him. This would have been the first time in a very, very long time that this man had felt another human being touch him. It could have been since he was a boy, since the first time he contracted this disease. We don't know how long, but nobody would have touched this man up until this point. You see, not only was it natural to not touch a leper because they were so gross and disgusting, you're just repelled from them. You would never want to touch them. But the law seemed to imply that no one was to touch a leper. In Leviticus 13, we read, the leprous person who has the disease shall wear torn clothes and let the hair of his head hang loose, and he shall cover his upper lip and he'll cry out, unclean, unclean. He shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. We see here the pathetic situation that a leper was in. A leper is unclean. He's unpresentable. He's outside of the camp. He was to live alone. But although the societal law forbade touching a leper, it's important to note that God's law actually did not. There is no prohibition against touching a leper in the law. What would actually happen is more of a descriptive thing. If you did touch one, you would become ceremonially unclean. Anything that came in contact with an unclean person or an unclean thing would transfer its uncleanness to that touching object, and it then would become unclean in and of itself, and for a period of time it would be ceremonially unclean. This is made clear in Leviticus 22. Whoever touches a thing by which he may be made unclean, or a person from whom he may take uncleanness, whatever his uncleanness may be, the person who touches such a thing shall be unclean until the evening and shall not eat of the holy things unless he has bathed his body in water. So here is Jesus, very technically, showing a few things. He is showing here His law keeping. He's showing here His personal compassion. And He's showing here His absolutely undefilable holiness. You see, He did not violate the law here. There was no actual prohibition against touching a leper, but only an understandable stigma against it and an issue of becoming ceremonially unclean, particularly if you were a priest. priests particularly could not touch lepers. And so Jesus did not violate God's law in this. In fact, everything is given here to tell us that he upheld it. Notice in verse 14, he makes it absolutely clear by his instructions to this man. Again, and he charged him, "Go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing, as Moses commanded, for a proof to them." He's not violating the law here, he's upholding it. Secondly, he did not become unclean here. Instead of contracting the disease and the corresponding ceremonial unholiness, what happens instead is that immediately the leprosy left the man. It didn't defile Jesus. The touch actually cleansed the unclean. It didn't go the way it normally goes. It didn't make dirty the one who touched, but rather the one who touched made clean. Something's changing here. Something's going on here. You see, priests, for the purpose of not becoming unclean, they were prohibited from touching anything that was unclean. But see, Jesus demonstrates here that he is a priest of another kind. He's a priest of another order. One who is holy and undefilable. And thus he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him. You see, what we are seeing here in this instance is a change in the priesthood. And thus, what will follow is a corresponding change in the law. This is all made very clear in the book of Hebrews. If you want to turn over to Hebrews chapter 7 or just listen along as I read it. Hebrews chapter 7. We'll begin in verse 11. "Now if perfection had been attainable through the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need would there have been for another priest to arise after the order of Melchizedek, rather than the one named after the order of Aaron? For when there is a change in the priesthood, there is necessarily a change in the law as well. For the one of whom these things are spoken belonged to another tribe from which no one has ever served at the altar. For it's evident that our Lord was descended from Judah, and in connection with that tribe, Moses said nothing about priests. This becomes even more evident when another priest arises in the likeness of Melchizedek, who has become a priest not on the basis of a legal requirement concerning bodily descent, but by the power of an indestructible life. For it is witnessed of him, 'You are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek.' On the other hand, a former commandment is set aside because of its weakness and uselessness, for the law made nothing perfect. But on the other hand, a better hope is introduced through which we draw near to God." And let's go down. This makes Jesus, verse 22, "This makes Jesus the guarantor of a better covenant. The former priests were many in number because they were prevented by death from continuing in office. But he holds his priesthood permanently because he continues forever. Consequently, he's able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For it was indeed fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy, innocent, unstained, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. He has no need to make sacrifices for his own sins, and then to go on and make sacrifices for others, because in that one death, his own death, he brought in eternal redemption." You see, what we are seeing here is in fact a change of the priesthood. And what will follow then is a corresponding change in the law. This is why God will say to Peter in Acts chapter 10, "You no longer call common what I call holy. These are no longer unclean things, because there is now a change in priesthood." And finally, a thing that this shows us is that Jesus' power is not impersonal. Jesus touches a leper. This was surely beyond the expectations of the man, and yet Jesus reaches out against societal stigmas. He reaches out against and with a disregard for what people are going to say about Him and think about Him. And He reaches out in total defiance of the communicable nature of the disease. And He touches this very unlovely man. The parallels between this healing and our salvation are as clear as they can be. We, in our sin, are like lepers. We are the living dead. We are infected from head to toe with our depraved natures. And among mankind, and according to earthly resources and earthly wisdom, there is no cure. We are ugly. We are unlovely. We are outcasts of the kingdom of heaven. But God. But God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. Jesus is willing and able to save all those who come to Him. And when we are convinced of our sin, and when we are convinced that Jesus is the Savior that we need, and when we are driven by the Holy Spirit to Him against all odds, we go to Jesus and we fall down before Him and we humbly cry out to Him, Lord, if You are willing, You can make me clean. And then Jesus graciously reaches out His hand to us and He touches us and He says, I will be clean. And immediately we are washed and we are renewed and we are cleansed of our sin. It's instantaneous, it's irreversible, it's undeniable, and in fact, it's infectious. It's infectious in a good way. You see, we can relate to this because we are human. We can imagine the loneliness of this man, and we can imagine what it was like to be touched and healed and restored to society. In fact, we are Him. We were spiritually unclean. We were moral lepers. We were Gentiles. You see, nobody would touch us either. We were outside of the kingdom. We were outside of the covenant. We were outside of the camp. But as we saw last Lord's Day, Christ has come as the second Adam with dominion over the whole earth and a universal, all-encompassing salvation. He began that day in that boat with those few disciples. He began to be fruitful and multiply and fill the whole earth. Peter and James and John and Paul and Philip and others, they began to go outside of the camp. They began to go, and against social stigma, they began to touch the unclean thing. Do you remember the account in Acts 10 where Peter has this vision of all these unclean things that would defile? And he hears a voice telling him, rise, Peter, and eat. And he says, no way, Lord. There's another one of Peter's classic no, Lord statements. No, Lord, I've never touched any of these things since my youth. And God tells him, don't call unclean what I now call clean. And Peter has been sent to this Gentile Cornelius. He's sent to his house. And do you remember the account, what happens in Acts 10? It's very similar to what we see here with the leper. The Cornelius comes and he falls down at Peter's feet and he begins to worship him. And Peter responds to this and he says, "Stand up. I'm just a man like you." And then Cornelius brings him into this room that Peter describes as having a large crowd or many people inside of this room. And then remember what Peter begins to say to them. Do you remember Peter's sermon? "You yourselves know how unlawful it is for a Jew to associate with or to visit anyone of any other nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any person common or unclean. You yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea." And Peter starts preaching what is exactly where we're at in the gospel. "You yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee." That's where we are in the story. We're in Galilee. "After the baptism that John proclaimed, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him, and he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to judge the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." And as Peter is preaching, the Holy Spirit falls upon these Gentiles for the very first time. And then they are baptized. They are brought into the body of Christ. And for the first time, Gentile inclusion in the people of God is enacted. Remember what Paul said in Ephesians 2. "Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ." And as Peter proclaims in 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10, "But you are now in Christ, a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." You see, we were unclean. We were outsiders. We were without Christ. We were sick from head to toe with our sins. We were spiritual lepers. We were in need of the Savior's mercy and grace. You see, we can relate to this story because this is us. This is our serious sin problem being pictured here in the leper. And this is our gracious and merciful Savior reaching out His hand, touching us, and forever cleansing us. Let's pray together. Father, we pray that as we reflect upon what you did to this man through Christ so many thousands of years ago, and as we sit so far removed from that circumstance then, and so far removed from the amazing work of reconciliation that you did, bringing those of our kind, those who you had not set your love upon, those who were not of your people, who had not received mercy. And yet you brought Jesus And He has reached out and He has touched our kind. And since that day, He has been touching the unclean, cleansing lepers, making us a people who were not a people. Father, we pray that as we contemplate the work of salvation through Christ, that it might strike us in the same way. We who have no prohibition from going out and proclaiming to others what Jesus has done for us. O Lord, may we be Your holy people, a nation of priests that proclaim the excellencies of our God. And so motivate us this morning, O Lord. May we be moved out of the grace and compassion of Jesus as He touched us when we were so unlovely, that we would proclaim the excellencies of You, our God. You who bind up the brokenhearted, You who went outside of the camp to redeem those who were outcasts. O Lord, may our worship be adequate and comport with those great truths of the gospel. May our hearts be engaged because of the redemption that we have received. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please rise to your feet and turn to Psalm 34b again. And let's respond to this picture of the compassion and salvation of Jesus today, singing from Psalm 34b, which speaks about those who have crushed spirits. God will impart salvation. Jesus said that all those who come to Him, He will in no wise cast out. Any who come to Christ, Jesus will reach out and touch and cleanse of their sin. Let's sing together Psalm 34b, stanzas 6 and 7. Receive now the blessing of our God, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with each one of you who are resting in our Savior Jesus today.
Amen.
We are dismissed.